as is in your bulletin, the sermon is simple and simply stated. A little leaven leavens. A little leaven leavens. In the Church of God, we celebrate and we participate in the days of unleavened bread. I want to spend the bulk of the sermon this morning. It's still morning, isn't it? No, it's after 12. Today, dealing with the unleavened bread, the situation. Not many churches observe, particularly, the days of unleavened bread. Not many churches observe the Passover. Oh yes, they keep what Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 11. But the Passover itself, they shun and they designate as something Jewish. It is not to the people of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul deals very much with the subject of unleavened bread. Let us read what he says here in chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, or Passover, is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul seemed to have had no problem or trouble in relating and transporting the practice of Passover from the Old Testament into the New. It is to be so done. A little leaven leavens. A little dye dies. A little sin infects and brings dishonor to God. In the book of Deuteronomy, you're sitting there with me, chapter 16. We can start at verse 1. Observe the month of Abib. That is the first month in God's calendar. And keep the Passover unto the Eternal, your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Eternal, or the Lord your God, of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Eternal shall choose to place his name there. You shall eat no unleavened bread with it, or leavened bread with it. 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And there shall no leaven bread seen with you in all your coast 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until the morning. Verse 5. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of the gates which the Eternal your God give you, but at the place which the Eternal your God shall choose to place his name in there, thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. This time of the year is very significant and meaningful to God's people and to God's church. It reminds us, it brings us back to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. It causes us to focus on the wonderful plan of God for the redemption of all mankind. And because it does, we celebrate jubilantly, yet soberly, what we're doing. And shouldn't that be the general attitude of God's people all year round? But we drift and we sidestep and we forget and we make mistakes and we quickly accommodate the words of Michael Jackson. I'm only human. But God has called unto himself what he designates as a holy people. And God expects of us all year round holy behavior. But the song says, he'll understand and say, I forgive. Leaven, as Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 5, infects. It causes separation between God and his people. That's why God emphasizes here both in 1 Corinthians and in Deuteronomy that we should separate ourselves at this period from leaven. It is hard when we are dominated by self and self-will to submit to the will of God. We have our own opinions. We don't think it should be like that. We go away with our own convictions. It is for the people of God in the coming days between now and Thursday evening to be leaven. Get rid of leaven. Remembering that leaven is a type of sin. So you and I have got to feverishly go about getting leaven away from us. You can eat bread today. You can eat pies and cakes today and tomorrow, and as we get down to Thursday, we should do away, separate ourselves from leaven products. As I said, it's very hard for many. Many cannot do it because they may not have a mate that is called, that is of this point of view. So some cannot be leavened as completely and as thoroughly as they would like, nor as they should. Those are exceptional cases. But for the rest of us, we've got to feverishly begin the leavening. What do you leaven? First of all, we've got to leaven our lives. Over the past weeks and months, leaven, type of sin, has crawled back into our lives in so many ways, so that we are infected, so that we are, in many cases, if we've permitted it to go that far, we could have been separated from our God and Savior. You know where you are. You know how close to God you are. And it is by that distance, that much of a distance, we need to come back during these days and bring our lives into symmetry, conformity to our God. It is human for us to say, well, I'll deal with that. I know I have a propensity to get angry and mouth off. Paul says that you can be angry and sin not. But we humans get annoyed, we get angry, and we, as is the parlance of the day, we cuss. Or we shouldn't. Paul says, let no evil communication out of your mouth. So we begin with ourselves. We have got to leaven our lives. Think of the areas of your life that might have been infected, encroached by leaven. And you know, it keeps you from God and from intimacy with God. But you've been promising, well, I'll deal with that. I'll get to that. But somehow here it's Passover. And we've not gotten to those areas of our lives that need to be purged. The words of Paul to the Corinthians is, purge out therefore that old leaven. A week or two I spoke to you on the seasons of introspection, where we need to look into our lives. Wherein am I not pleasing my God? Wherein am I not as sanctified or as holy or as like Christ as I should be? You know, mine is not to judge, nor to castigate. Mine is simply to point out as a minister of Jesus Christ what God expects of us all. So we've got to, first of all, deliver our lives, bring our lives into conformity with God's plan and God's way and God's purpose for our lives. In this same book of 1 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 3. We were dealing with chapter 5. Back up two chapters. Let's see what is designated or pointed out to be levelous, infectious, fallacious. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, you know, the Corinthian church was a funny church, but yet, in many aspects, the church today is very much like the Corinthian church. Listen to the things he states here to these Corinthians. And I, brethren, talking to brethren, church people, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. So there is a diminution of spirituality that's rampant here in the Corinthian church. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, fleshly, the works of the flesh that need to be removed, expunged from our system. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I'm not a babe. I've been following God for 20 years. Somebody might retort. I'm not a babe. But it's carnality. And leaven dwell in you. Paul says, you're a babe. You're not growing. You're not striving to be like your Savior. Even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. You would not give your baby a nice big piece of meat to chew on, would you? He has no teeth. And a spiritual babe does not seem to be able to ingest and to deal with a chunk of meat. It will stick in his throat. Cannot get it down because it's not masticated. It is not made pureed. So God's people have got to be able to take in. That's why it is the responsibility of the ministry to give out the word of God in a digestible fashion. But you have passageway is not clear. You've got to be able, after mastication, to be able to swallow and take it in. He said, I fed you with milk. He said, human beings are the only mammals that drink milk after weaning. And if you're still in the milk of the word, maybe you're plodding. You're not in a state yet where the first psalm says that we walk and then we run. Are you running yet? Since my surgery, I have to start doing some more running. I'm walking. Walk with my cane every now and again, and then I try without the cane. I promise to do some skipping. Like what the boxers do, jump and you run and skip. So you've got to learn to deliver your life. If you cannot seriously sit down and think of where you are with Christ, this is the time to do it. What do I have to deliver? Too much of this and too much of that. And not enough time delivering my life. I fed you with milk, not with meat. For to this point, hitherto, you are not able to bear it. In other words, I hear too much coughing, too much difficulty swallowing, taking it in. He continues, neither yet now are you able to bear it. Are you more spiritual now than you were 2 weeks ago? The spirituality comes as a difficult thing for you. I make one step, but oh, I keep slipping back. By the time I leave here on a Saturday, I go right back into the world. I cannot get up to running speed. You know where you are. Verse 3. For you are yet carnal. He repeats the same thing he said in the earlier verse. And now he begins to enumerate and list what are the carnal traits that are abiding, that are holding you down, that are making you less spiritual, less Christ-like. For you are yet carnal, for now he starts, as the old folks used to say, now he begins to meddle. Now he begins to tell you what his assessment is. For whereas, what I can see, there is among you envyings. Have you thought of envying as a carnal trait? He tells us it is. Have we thought of envying as a fruit of leaven? Envy and strife. How many households are full of strife? The husband says one thing and the wife says, I ain't doing that. And the man says, I ain't doing that. No woman's going to tell me what to do. And he pauses and says, wait a minute, is that the Spirit of Christ? And that's what Paul is talking about here. Whereas there's among you envy and strife, and he's not done, he said, divisions. This side doesn't talk to that side. You want to do something that's not right, and you look around. None of the church people around. But the thing that is so obvious is you seldom do this. Looking around is human. Nobody from the church is seeing me. But we fail to look up. Realize that God sees everything. This is not condemnatory. This is calling for introspection. This is telling you again that a little leaven does a job. It leavens. Divisions. And again he says, are you not carnal? And if you cannot get to the place where you realize that there's a lot of carnality in me, I've not reached yet. But somebody said, but Mr. Morris, would we always have carnality? He's saying, as you say in verse 8, that we ought to get rid of these carnal traits and taints and allow the Spirit of God to infect and infest and triumph in us. Because after all, we are the children of God. Are you not carnal and walk as men? That will tell you. That's how the man in the street walks. Doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about doing righteous deeds. Oh, he might help an old lady across the street. Or pick up a child's toy that might have fallen. Are you not carnal? And walk as men. It's not done yet. Verse 4. While one says, I am of Paul. One of the evils of what was done to the worldwide Church of God with all the separation that took place. It seems as though it has set up options for someone who cannot get along over here. He said, this is over here, we need the same thing. I ain't staying here. So while one says, I am a Paul, Paul is my preacher, Paul will be my minister any day. And another person says, I am of Apollos. Wasn't he? Apollos is Peter. Wasn't he the first apostle? Wasn't he the one that Christ loved the most, it seems? Christ is never prejudiced or preferential. I am of Apollos. Comes off that term, holier than thou. I am of Paul and I am of Apollos. Again he says the same thing. Are you not carnal? And as we do our self-introspection, as we lead up to the Passover, we've got to ask ourselves, who am I? Am I striving to be like my Savior Jesus Christ? Or am I a carnal heap of humanity? Now he begins knocking down these same personages that were presented as my favorite. Who then is Paul? Seems as though he's putting down Paul. Paul was called of God on the road to Damascus. But he's saying, who is Paul? The people we glorify and we pedestalize and put them up on a pedestal. He says, who are these people? You're an Apollos believer and supporter. Who then is Apollos? Then he tells you who they are, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Then he tells you what these office holders are. Verse 6. I have planted. One minister plants the word. Apollos watered the different aspect to cause Christian growth. But God gave the increase. How many times have there been lamentation? Where are the crowds, Mr. Morris? You call the kingdom of God series, and there are hundreds of people in New York who get our magazines and get our material, and you send them a special letter, and they give, yes, I'll come. Where are the crowds? And you come looking forward to a crowd. Not that many. These ministers plant and water, but God is the one who gives the increase. And as we teach in our church, you can't follow God until and unless there's a calling from God. God must call you. And everyone who names the name of United Church of God should come here with a calling. God is calling me here. I tried that church over there, but somehow something was missing. But here, I find peace and edification and instruction and truth. God gives in grace. It is for us to continue in our laboring, in our praying, and in our seeking God's face. Those whom He is calling will find themselves unfettered from all the restraints of the world and come and follow Him. What does the word say? Many are called. We've heard people come here and say, this is not my cup of tea. Not that many people. The minister doesn't have on a fancy robe. There's not a tremendous choir back there and a pipe organ over there. This couldn't be the church of God. Jesus called his disciples that they were all wearing sandals, not high-heeled shoes. Not patent leather, either. They were all dressed up in fine clothing. Jesus said, what went you out for to see? One dressed in fancy clothing. All they saw then before him was John the Baptist. Had a linen girdle about his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Superman, but he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Then he saw him as was read before. In astonishment, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God! He would take away the sin of the world, but they must submit to him." So then, in verse 7 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, so then, neither is he that plants anything. Neither is he that waters. But God that gives the increase. We're not building a work here unto ourselves, brethren. This is not our grand boast. This is the work of God. And we would only encourage those whom God is calling and striving to be a part of His family. You would not take everybody into your family, would you? You don't want everybody sitting at your dining table. You do that, and the night can be much observed. Somebody said, where you got that from? Exodus 12 and 42. It is a night to be much observed. So we aren't doing things by guess. We are seeking scriptural proof and scriptural truth to give to the people of God. Verse 8. Now he that waters or plants and he that waters are one. There should not be competition between the ministry. You started it. You said, I'm a poor. Well, I'm of a bollock. He's my preacher. He that plants and he that waters are one. Singleness of purpose. Singleness of striving to build the kingdom of God, not to build up the man. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then he says, including the laity, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You're God's building. And he goes on. So first of all, we've got to leaven our lives. Our lives must be brought much more so into conformity to what is God's will for us and for His people. Get rid of carnality, brethren. You've been hanging on to it too long. Like Linus, remember that cartoon character with his blanket? Is it blankie? carried everywhere with us, while his thumb was in his mouth. And there's still too many Christian people with their thumbs still in their mouth. Again, on the milk of the word. Deliver your life. Make your life like what God wants it to be. Is there anything else we can deliver? As we get to the days of unleavened bread, which is after we've gone through the Passover, we need to live in our homes. How would you feel? Had you been Zacchaeus? And Jesus looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for today I will dine with you. Is your home always accommodatable to Christ? Oh, I'm going to go quick and move that towel shouldn't be there. The dirty dishes in the sink still. We need to deliver our homes. Think of all the places you ate leavened bread. Even now, for leavened bread is still admissible, all now. We've got to go back to those areas and remove the leavened products. That is not easy. I don't know many church people in the other churches that deal with the leavening part of this activity at this time of the year. That is, of course, thought by them to be Jewish. But God calls upon us to put leavening out of our homes as we put leavening out of our lives. It is your responsibility. And the ardency and the fervor with which we go about leavening our homes is reflective of a deep commitment to be obeying God. What in your home needs leavening? You were eating cookies in your living room last night. That's a leavened product. Nice hot bread. You were in your living room with a slice. So wherever deposits of leaven fell, it is our obligation to go and leaven those areas. Leaven your life. Leaven your home. That's our responsibility. And God expects it. And He tells us what is leaven. Envy, strife, divisions, all the carnal products that the evil one can bring upon us, if we allow them to stick, they will hang on for dear life and bring us down. So we leaven our lives. We leaven our homes. You've got to remember where leaven products fell and clung and seek to remove them. What about your car? You had that burger in the front seat there, didn't you? Oh, you had pizza there too. All of the products that yield and bring forth leaven. You've got to go over those areas. Oh, that's too much, Mr. Mark. My car too? Yes, your car too. Because you, as one whom God is calling, I've got to retrace your steps and remove the leaven from your life, from your home, and from your car. If you take that piece of sweet bread It'd be bad if it's so nice and warm and soft. Some might be in your bed still. How do I know? I've had some of the same feelings. I have done the same stupid things. Not stupid to eat sweet bread. But we've got to remember where we deposited it. Items that had lead in them. And we've got to go over them. And get them out. The car has lots of space between the seats. And you've got to go down there and get it out. Are we making light of serious things? Absolutely not. But it shows us what God expects of us. His people, go over your life, go over your home, go over the car, and wherever leaven fell, and sought to crouch, we've got to clean. In our cleaning, we have a nice big new vacuum cleaner. And we clean the carpet. We pass it on the bed. The chairs in the dining room, if they have crevices, some fell in there too. And we clean with that vacuum cleaner. And when we're done, we roll it up and wrap the cord up and push it in the corner with all the leavening in it. So you've got to remember, you've got to, after the cleaning with the vacuum cleaner, you've got to take out the bag. Or I have one that does not have a bag, it just has a canister. You've got to clean that too. You see how much is yet to be done between now and Thursday night? How many of you like toast bread? There is a thing called a toaster. You know what that is. That has become a harbinger of crust and deposits. I was warming a piece of bread this morning and looked into that toaster, and there were so many crumbs in there. We could have cleaned that out before Thursday night. Because the Bible says we should deleaven, let no leaven be named among you. But isn't that Jewish, Mr. Morris? No. It is God commanded. And if you're going to follow God in its entirety and truthfully and sincerely, you've got to do what God says. So he wants us to clean that life, clean that home, clean that car. Oh, you get it washed so the public can see it shiny and nice. But God wants you to go inside there and clean it out. One Jewish young woman said to me one time that, I can't worry with all of that cleaning. I think in some Jewish homes they have the rabbi bless the utensils. God wants to bless the utensils clean. Not the plates and the pot. The strainer. And all the other things that occupy our kitchen. She said, what we do is we leave our house and we go to stay at our parents because you see, they do a thorough cleaning. Isn't there a word for that? Escapism. The responsibility is yours. You are striving to be like Christ, not like Paul or Boss. And he wants you to clean your place when you were out in the world before God called you. Remember how you went crazy over Christmas? Everything had to be redone, repainted, washed down the chairs, and oh, we were like avidly following to get everything Christmassy. What about trying to get everything Christ-like? What about striving to be in conformity as to what God expects? So your life, your home, your car, system. The couch I have written down here, the vacuum cleaner. After you've done all the vacuuming and all of the crumbs are accumulated in the bag or in the canister, you've got to remember to shake that out. Because the objective, as Christ said, let no leaven be around you. And we said that leaven is a type of sin. What about those who say, well, you know, we are sinners and there's no way we can get away from sin. I wonder why it is God said to Moses that no leaven, not a little, should be found among you. Take it out. Put it out. If we were supposed to accommodate sin, because we said sin infects, as does leavening. If we leave it in there, it can affect the rest of our lives. And we become unspiritual and unchrist-like. It's amazing how God takes simple things. Leaven, we eat bread every day. Bake, roti, all the things we love. And then God says, there's a time coming when I want you to separate yourself from leaven. Because leaven infects, as we said, as a topic, a little leaven. Leavens. And depending on our intensity and our seriousness about following Christ, we've got to start on a mad dash to get leavening away from us so that we might be vessels fit for the Master's use. How to leaven are you? Oh, it's too early to start this war. I'll start maybe Wednesday evening. Have you ever come to Passover and you thought you'd leaven everything? Then you go to your child's room and lo and behold, there's a whole can of biscuits that he hid from you under his bed. You're responsible for that as a parent. So you've got to take the leavening seriously, brethren. Christ, God, incorporated these things as things for us to go after, to leaven ourselves and separate ourselves from sin. Because leaven is a type of sin. And leaven, as I said here in my final statement, leaven as carnality. If it's not gotten rid of, it can kill you. That is how serious, or how seriously we should take separating ourselves from leaven and from sin. Paul said, that God is coming back for a spotless church without spot and wrinkle. You're going to be part of that assemblage that Christ is coming back for. What did the psalm say? One bad apple spoils the whole bunch. And unless we can thoroughly deleven our lives and our homes and our cars and our places of abode, what about our jobs? You could deleven the buildings, you don't need the new like you do. But you have an area that is your area. That's your responsibility too. It says that no leaven shall be found among you. That's what God expects. So as we come here on Thursday evening to partake of the broken body and shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us come before him in sincerity and in truth. Repeat the words of the psalmist in Psalm 51, is it? Search me, O God, and know my ways. Try me, and have me to be like you.
It is your prayer that as we celebrate another year of Passover, followed by the days of unleavened bread, we be vessels meet for the Master's use, and vessels sanctified and set aside for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.